sunset all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a...
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 21. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Emery from mytakeontv.com.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm going to ask, and maybe somebody will have thought up some news in the meantime. Do we have any news items?
Nothing really worth mentioning.
Okay, then, Emery.
Just that the... Just that the Two and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory that we mentioned was possibly getting extended pickups have officially gotten there. They'll be around for what? Like, did it end up being 2 and 3?
Yeah.
Two more seasons of the Big Bang Theory and 3 of Two and a Half Men?
Won't it really be 3 men by that point?
Yeah, seriously? Dude's like 24, okay?
I think I need to change the name of the show.
Two old men and a half of a man. No. Two aging 80s stars and a weird-looking kid star.
That's a long name.
It's just too long.
Two 80s stars. That's what they should call it.
It could be like...
It'll just be all numbers.
Well, they could go for maybe, you know, like 2 3/4 men or something like that. Or
wait, what was Charlie Sheen's name in Major League?
I don't remember.
It could be Ducky in his name from Major League.
Well, his nickname was Wild Thing, but I don't remember what the character's name was.
Ducky, Wild Thing, and the Kid. I might watch a show called that.
Yeah, I would too.
I want to watch that show.
Oh, are you paying attention, CBS? Chuck Lorre.
Oh, in other news, it's been brought to my attention that I don't sound like Winnie the Pooh. I sound like Tigger.
Two.
Which I'm okay. And Tigger too, right.
I can't hear the name Tigger without saying two at the end.
Tigger does the hoo-hoo-hoo, whatever, that I laugh like. Well, you'll know it when you hear it, basically. And Winnie the Pooh is more of a very sad, sad, sad little bear. Oh, bother.
I love it.
Now I sound like Winnie the Pooh. I'm going to do that every time I want to laugh later. Oh, bother.
That's great.
Okay, we're off to a great start.
So thanks, Jody, for first pointing that out to us and to Shannon for backing Jody up.
Yes, thanks to Shannon for reminding me exactly what Winnie the Pooh said.
Yes. So funny. All right. Is that it for our news? Now that we've brought everybody up to date about who Amory actually sounds like.
Yeah, even though that the little poll that you posted has Winnie the Pooh winning.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, people, apparently we need to back up with some proof here. You can't just vote Winnie the Pooh because you think Amory should be right.
Amory should always be right.
Okay, Amory.
Okay. Let's get this under control.
That's a lot to ask.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
All right, let's move
on. Tigger
is
out of the bag
and bouncing around. All right. Okay, let's move on to the topic.
We have a topic this week.
We do, and guess what? Guess who was provided by? You can guess. You can get it.
Was it really?
Yes.
My buddy Chris?
It was Chris Vaughn.
Did you see that I edited the post to add that Chris Vaughn, I meant no harm last week when I was like, he's the ass kisser in class. I didn't mean that.
I didn't see that. Now I need to go look at the post. Like,
Chris, I promise, I wasn't making fun of you. I was just saying other people need to step it up.
Yeah, and I wasn't saying that his ideas were bad. I was just trying to get other people to send in some.
We don't want to turn away one of our four listeners, okay?
Yeah. And they what's amazing is like they all four wrote in this week.
So. Yeah, they did. we have a loyal following.
Chris, let me just put it to you this way: they make fun of me. So if they're making fun of you, you're just one of us.
Exactly.
Or just you're like me, I'm not sure if you're one of us or not, but.
So would they be, would our listeners be known as the TV Times 3-4?
Maybe. Oh, people. Okay, stop. We're moving on to the topic by Chris Vaughn. Here's what he said in his email. It baffles me why shows insist on spoiling their cliffhangers in their previews. Moments after Adama and Ty have a grenade tossed into their laps and a to be continued, we see a preview of Galactica with Adama facing a firing squad. Totally unnecessary. That's one of many examples. Please discuss. How do we feel about this, gang?
I think that the networks are douchey in that way. Do you remember the episode where Charlie Cruz was shot?
Yes.
Didn't they show him, like, up and about in the next episode?
Yeah, like, next week.
And it was, like, a cliffhanger. That's what we talked about before. It was a cliffhanger for, like, the hiatus. And they showed him up and about, like, next time on Life.
I mean, let alone the, you know, put aside the fact that he is the lead of the show and they're not going to kill him. You still want to know what happened. I mean, you don't want the network to tell you 5 minutes after you watch this big cliffhanger.
Right, like, there could be something happening that he'd be out of commission for an episode. Like, that would be understandable. So, to see them up, not just up and about, like, totally talking and doing something in the next episode, you're just like, okay.
And to a certain extent, like, there's one show I can think of that actually, they show promos, and the promos don't give anything away, but they still make, like, Lost. Like, they'll have a cliffhanger, and the next episode focuses on a different character or something, and they show that. They don't tell you how the cliffhanger is resolved, so I like that they do that.
Yeah, and I will say this about Lost. Like, even when they do show a preview that shows you something, like this week, the preview for this week's episode actually was kind of misleading because it led you to believe that Sun was back in time.
Yeah.
Along with Saeed, because they showed Saeed being, like, held at gunpoint by Jin, so you thought Saeed was there, and so the clips that you saw of Sun, they didn't actually show you anybody who was around Sun, so you didn't know that she wasn't back in time or that she, you know what I mean? So it was actually misleading to me because I changed my mind about where Sun was based on the preview and based on other information we had in the last episode. And I was wrong.
Well, I hate that almost as much as a network spoiling a cliffhanger or even if it's just promoing the next episode and they practically give away what it is that's like, or they're telling you that there's going to be some big thing that happens in the next episode, and then they show you like one more clip or scene or something like that, and it like gives away like what that big thing is going to be, and you're like, well, why? It's not a surprise now anymore, you know. It's a
right.
You could have just left it at there's going to be something big about, you know. But I also hate, like you were saying though, I hate almost as much, or sometimes even worse, when an episode leads you to believe that something is going to happen that, you know, that's not at all anywhere near. And so it's like the anti-spoiler, but it almost still spoils you because now you thought that was going to happen and they are leading you down a completely the wrong path.
Well, I will just say that my example, I wasn't complaining about it. I was saying that it was an effective way to do it because it led you to assume something, but like it wasn't all wrong information. I do know what you mean, like, because they're trying to make the episode sound more exciting, or maybe the promo people have no idea what the episode is really about. They're just basing it on something else, like the clips or something. They do like totally misrepresent the episode, and that can be annoying too. I agree with that.
Yeah, like a few weeks ago people were up in arms about the brothers and sisters episode,
yeah,
and like
die.
And the promos, and what's funny is somehow I didn't see like the next week or didn't see any ads for it. So I didn't like really realize that they had been advertising it that way. And then people were all like all up in arms. And I was like, yeah, I would have been, not that I want to see anybody die on, you know, brothers and sisters, but
I do,
but then, you know, necessarily, but then advertising that somebody dies on the show when what happens is like his heart stops for 10 seconds. And so he's like kind of dead and then comes back. When they zap him or whatever, that's kind of extra lame.
Yes, it is. I hate it too, since we're talking about death. I do hate it when they will use a death to try to pull you in. So they spoil the death. And the reason I hate it is not so much because I know the person's going to die in the sense that, like, I don't know how to explain what I mean. I guess what I mean is, like, if you're watching the episode and you didn't know that person was going to die, you would approach it in an entirely different way. And instead, you just spend the entire episode waiting for the moment the person dies.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Instead of, like, enjoying what's happening, you're so focused on, when's he going to die? When's he going to die? Come on. When's he going to die? Is this going to be the moment in which he dies?
Yeah, that's how ABC's promoing the next episode of Desperate Housewives. You know, that a housewife's going to die or something like that.
I'm going to stay quiet about that.
Which could
partially saying that because
anybody.
The news came out. Well, the news came out. Well, not. Never mind.
I know. I was trying to stay quiet about it, Amory.
And that's just what saying, I can say about that.
Yeah. What I'm just saying is they do that type of stuff, and it could be, you know, in general, some sort of show advertised like that. It could be anybody, not necessarily the main cast. It'll be like all of a sudden, like some random housewife that gets introduced for like the episode or something like that.
True.
And they do lame stuff like that, but then they pump it up as, you know, and they show you pictures of all the main cast when they're doing it. And then it's none of those people that are,
right,
you know, a lot of times that are going to. And so I almost.
The same network who said somebody was going to die on Brothers and Sisters.
Yeah, that's right. They're using that somebody's going to die thing to death.
Didn't they say that last year when on Grey's too? I mean, technically she did die, but
yeah,
it's the same type of thing. I guess we shouldn't put it past them if they would say it for Grey's, that they would say it for anything else.
I mean, I guess that they're just trying to get viewers to tune in, but they're going to piss off the viewers that are tuning in later.
I think they piss off anybody who they're trying to draw in, too, because if that's what you use to drew me in.
Like the brothers and sisters thing, it did draw in people that had stopped watching the show.
Yeah.
That had been fans of the show, and then they came back to watch that episode, and then all you did was like piss those people off so that they're like, I'm never coming back to watch the show ever again. And
right.
That's like that's some terrible advertising
if disrespect for the viewer.
I have to applaud NBC though. The George Clooney episode, they didn't use him to draw in viewers, which I thought was smart but shocking. Because you would think that they would go balls to the wall and want to be like, we have Oscar winner George Clooney on the show.
But somebody somewhere pointed out that in the last time he made an appearance on ER, he specifically required that he not be used in the promos.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's possible that he did it again. I mean, the information was out there. It was funny because everybody was all like, George Clooney's going to be on ER, like it was some big shocking thing. And I'm like, dude, didn't we know this for like a month and a half now? There were pictures and everything. Did I miss something?
Maybe it wasn't like which specific episode it was going to be, but that he was going to be on an episode towards the end. And so I think maybe there were some.
Because I watched the show and I know that there's only three or four yeah. episodes left. So it wasn't that shocking to me. I was just like, well, they said he was going to be on an episode. So I guess I just didn't. You remember there was a picture. Who posted it? Corby or somebody at Zap2It posted it. And we had a whole discussion about him being on, possibly being on. Anyway, that's why I was like, when everybody was so shocked by it, I'm like, okay. I know that all of you people were the people who were talking about it before. So why are you all so shocked?
I think that they were expecting him in the finale. And that's maybe where the shock came in.
Oh.
Yeah. Or if you're like a casual watcher or somebody that would have or hasn't been watching the show but would have watched it to see him on the show again.
You might
not have known, you know, you wouldn't have necessarily known that it was the fourth to the last episode that he was going to be on.
I guess, but I guess my feeling on it and my feeling in general about that episode was that I actually was annoyed by how much of it was spent on them. I guess old viewers would have liked it because a lot of time was spent on them and the other people, you know what I mean, like Carter and Benton, and not a lot of time was spent with the current characters, who are the people I care about at the moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Shocker. On this topic, we were talking about people being advertised as dying, and I wanted to go back to the beginning of this season. Showtime spoiled the L word and the death on the L word, which, as we all know, pissed me off at the time. It still kind of pisses me off, but the only consolation I will give is that we do find out who died like within the first like 2 minutes of the episode. So right. It really doesn't spoil all of the episode. So I kind of understand why they did it now, but I still didn't really like that they gave, like, I think it would have been more of a shocker to me when I sat down to watch it, and maybe I would have approached the season a little differently
Yeah, that but even but that that's one of those that that even is like is telling is putting that out there. Is that something that's gonna? But I mean, that's one that's not even like somebody's gonna die and come watch. This is like.
Well, saying, first they said somebody's gonna die. That's how they started their campaigning. Like yeah, early but I remember on, they said somebody. No, no, and then they said the name. Then they came out with the name. But when they first started, they just said somebody's gonna die.
Yeah, but before the episode actually aired, they finally, you know, it was already out there who it was, and you're just like, is that really gonna like draw people in? To, I mean, because that's that almost spoils their they really spoil themselves there, because who's gonna you know they already know so like the
well when
the
people found out who it was they were happy
right you have to know so that the character was not a. Not a well-liked character. Of course, it was misleading.
But still, it's not going to get anybody that had watched the show at some point in time to that hadn't been watching it or something like that to come back and see.
Yeah.
That's true. And if it did, they changed their mind really quickly because the entire season was about how horrible that character was.
Right.
It was all about emphasizing her horribleness. So if you came back just to see her die, you certainly left really quickly because you didn't want to have to sit through her for the amount of episodes that we did. Sorry, Jenny, Mia Kirshner. You're just so good of an actress. I really hated Jenny. All right. The other thing I wanted to bring up was Amory. I don't know if you'll know what I'm talking about, but this season at the beginning of The Amazing Race, every episode, they are putting previews about what's going to happen in that episode.
I do know that.
It's driving me crazy. Now, I will say this. I can kind of understand if they're trying to draw in viewers, except that they put it after the previouslys. So, like, it's not even drawing the people who might have stayed on the channel from 60 Minutes. Like, it's not showing immediately, so the people who are watching 60 Minutes are like, oh, maybe I'll sit around and watch this episode. I wonder what happens. Instead, they put it after the previouslys.
They put it after the previouslys, and if they aren't watching the show, then they're not going to know that that's happening.
Right, exactly. And so I'm just like, why are you showing this? I don't really want to know what's coming up.
Yeah.
Well, if you've sat through the previouslys, you're probably going to watch the episode anyway, so you don't really need to.
Exactly. I don't understand why they're doing it. So that was just one of my examples of like a weird decision making on the previews. It's along the same lines of spoiling what's about to happen on a show.
Yeah.
Especially like a reality show.
Battlestar Galactica did something like that, but it was like they would do the previews and like there's like a slow part of the theme and then there's like a fast part of the theme.
Mm-hmm.
And during the slow part, it's the same credits you always see. And then the fast part was always like little glimpses of little things from the episode. And I don't necessarily think that it ever spoiled anything. It just made you really excited for it. But on The Amazing Race, they're like, Tammy and Victor have a fight. And it's like, okay, that happens every week, whatever. I don't know. It was different. I prefer the Battlestar Galactica way of doing things.
Yeah, it's an interesting decision, I guess.
So say we all.
Word.
So it seems as though we agree with you, Chris Vaughn. It's totally unnecessary.
So I think we've kind of come to the conclusion that, well, we all pretty much hate spoilers in general, but even more so when the network actually spoils their own show with a promo or any type of thing that spoils a show.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when you're watching a network ad or promo for the show and it gives everything away.
Amen to that.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to force myself to actually turn the channel or flip it off when it goes to the, like, next week type thing so I don't even watch them because I don't want to know.
All right. Is that it? We're done with that. Let's move on to shows.
Yes.
Yay. Okay, prime time. I didn't mean to yay.
Yay!
Yay!
Put another nail in that coffin.
Success!
Success! Actually, that commercial.
Okay.
Anyway,
we went nowhere fast. All right, prime time.
Prime Tigger. Time.
The Amazing Race. First, I have to read Shannon a portion of Shannon's email to us because I certainly can't read it all to you people. Shannon knows what we're talking about. We'll read more of it to you over the weeks to come. It's a story you have to read in chapters. All right, Shannon. See, we make fun of you if we love you. All right, so this is part of
maybe we can just, in a future special episode, we could just read an email from Shannon. And
we could do that. All right, sorry. To the portion of the email I wanted to read that relates to The Amazing Race. This is what she had to say. And just so you know, I've started watching The Amazing Race based on your discussions. Yay for us. And I agree that Victor is a major douche. So do we. And I may be an awful person, but I do not like Luke. Now, Shannon, I had to read this because I have to just tell you, if you're an awful person, I'm an awful person right there with you.
And I am too.
I think that he's an ass.
I do too.
And I know he's deaf and I maybe should... I don't know why I should give him special treatment. He doesn't want special treatment. He wanted to do the race to prove that deaf people can do what everybody else can do. And apparently part of that is being a dick. So.
Right. Right. And to a certain extent, I think he's using his deafness as a reason to back up the fact that he's being a dick. Like, oh, I'm deaf. I can do that. And it's not like that.
Right. Although my real problem with his, like, he's just an ass to his mom a lot, which even if there's an excuse, like his mom probably is overprotective because he is deaf and he has special circumstances, whatever. Even if she's overprotective and there's a reason for you being like that because you've kind of established that relationship between the two of you, it still comes off as though you're being a dick to her. And you are being a dick to her whether or not you have a good reason or not. And on the show, we don't see enough of her being like that to him. So when he's like saying stuff to her sometimes, I'm just like, really? Just because you're deaf, it doesn't excuse you.
Right.
So if you like douchey deaf dicks, you should definitely tune into the next Amazing Race.
You're just waiting to do the alliteration.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the actual episode, because can we briefly discuss Phil and his undies?
Phil and his
undies. I don't want to fill in his undies.
He's quite tasty looking.
Yes. Yes, he is. I was quite surprised.
I actually did a woo.
I know. I did. I Twittered right away.
I was like, totally a woo girl.
Dear the Amazing Race. I said, oh, hey, Phil in your undies.
Oh, Phil. I do love me some Phil.
So you Twittered Phil in his undies. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. Moving on from Phil in his undies.
Oh, bother.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
I don't even remember who I picked last week.
I picked
the sisters.
Keisha and Jen, which wasn't such a good pick on your part.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Not at all.
Maybe if Keisha and Jen had done what they said they were going to do at the beginning of the race and stuck with everybody, they wouldn't have that problem.
They totally took a different route. They're like, I'm going to go this way. I know this country well. Siberia.
And then they had multiple problems later, too. Although they weren't as bad as What's-Her-Face and What's-Her-Face.
Blondes. The blondes versus the redheads.
Yes, the flight attendants. Christine Jodie.
In her thong running through Siberia.
Oh my god. At least she was the last one, so we didn't get a lot of time on her.
Oh my god. At least there was a shading bubble over her rear end.
I love it that they went to the wrong church and they look at the bride and she's like, no. Not the right place, people. So funny. Okay, so you picked you picked Keisha and Jen. And I picked Margie and Luke, didn't I?
You want to say you picked Margie and Luke because they came in first.
Did I pick that?
I think you might have.
Don't be like that. I didn't. I picked Victor and Tammy, I think.
Oh, I love it.
I think I picked them the previous week or something. Damn it. I'm so bad at this. I'm so bad at this game. All right, who do we think is going to... I'm just going to say Mel and Mike because I want them to come in first.
Yeah, I do too.
Are you thinking about it?
I was. Sorry. I really like Mike and Mel, so I want them to win.
Okay, but who do you think will win this week? Mike and Mel? Is that what you're saying? You want them to win this week? I got all confused. I thought you meant I want them to win the race.
Oh, I want them to win this week, too, but if I have to pick someone else.
No, you can. Then... You can pick the same people. It's not like you're going to be able to buy me a drink.
Hey, we'll see each other in like 24 days.
We will, but we can make that bet next week. We can make the real bet next week.
Okay.
So you're picking Mike and Mel as well?
I am.
All right. So there we go. Shannon, we're glad that you are watching upon our recommendation. If only Jason would do the same. All right. Enough of The Amazing Race. Let's move on. The Mentalist.
Simon Baker's awesome, even when he's blind.
Maybe even more awesome when he's blind.
Mm-hmm. And... on the OC, I hated Amanda Ragetti, but I don't hate her here. And I think that's a big step in our relationship, in our friendship.
In your friendship.
I'm sure she's glad to hear it.
She should be. She's listening. What else is she doing?
She's on The Mentalist now. What are you talking about?
6 minutes an episode, but I like her.
She was in it quite a lot this episode.
I like his character that even in, like, he's blind and he's got a gun to his back and he's still making jokes and taking shots. Like, what do they have in Iowa? Or what do they grow in Iowa? And he's like, apparently gullible women. And she's like, thanks a lot. As they're being marched out at gunpoint.
He's like Sean on Psych. That's what he does.
Yep.
It was nice to see a little bit of how Patrick Jane was and how he used people before compared to how he is now. I'd like to see a little character depth there. We've seen a little bit of it before, but to see even more of it.
Yeah, they gave a little bit more of that. He didn't just do like the big audiences or whatever. He took individual clients and was not the greatest guy.
Right. He's had a little tragedy that way, too, since the girl clearly killed herself over what he talked to her about. Are we done with The Mentalist?
Sure.
Okay, Emery.
I go with the flow.
You're supposed to mix it up a little, remember? Because you said sure earlier. Anyway.
Great.
Okay, now she's Tony the Tiger.
Great. Okay. Amory's just all of our characters. Let's move on to the show that you two loved, Better Off Ted.
Oh, Better Off Ted. I love this show. I love it. I love it. I love it. And that's all I have to say. I think everything about it is great.
Amory, did you love it?
Just a little bit.
It's really good, but I was just disappointed a little bit in the... I mean, I didn't expect it to do really well in the ratings, but was hoping it would do better than it did. But on the other hand, the spin that like ABC or whatever has given it, or I read someplace, was that it did improve the time period, even though the ratings weren't that great. It did improve the time period ratings over like the last whatever.
What was there before?
Oh my god.
I just said it.
I can't believe that you just not only did you say the name did you name the show that shall not be named, but you attributed it to a network that so would be like, how can you say that that was on our network?
Worst week. Was that what was there?
What are you talking about?
No, that's CBS.
What was playing in the time slot before? Oh, God.
Pushing Daisies.
Damn it.
Oh, God.
I was really hoping it was one of those other shows that's so bad.
Oh, my God. Oh,
damn it. Sorry, people. Never mind.
I didn't quite get whether it, but I guess it's somewhat did better, maybe better than Pushing Daisies, but definitely better than whatever they've been like filling in the blank with repeat lost episodes or whatever. But so it did do better than what's been there before, but not as good as you would kind of hope. Mm-hmm. But if you like, that have something different to them, like How I Met Your Mother or The Office or 30 Rock or Arrested Development, that, you know, have some, I don't know how to put it, that have something more than just your straight up, joke and setup. Sometimes you have to think a little bit about the situation to catch some of the jokes or whatever. So that may be why it doesn't do quite as well as something as that has more easy comedy, like Two and a Half Men or something. But if you like well done comedies, and lots of people seem to like these other shows, it's give Better Off Ted a chance before another sitcom dies an early death on ABC. And that's all I have to say about that.
So I'm not a dissenting voice. I will just say that I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it nearly as much as you guys did, but perhaps you saw more episodes than I did.
The next episode's fantastic.
Okay. Part of why I didn't enjoy this one maybe as much as I could have is because I felt like the promos or sneak peeks we kept seeing of it pretty much covered the entire episode.
Yeah, they did give away a
It's funny, though, because I, like, a lot of the promos I was seeing were for parts of episodes that haven't aired or aren't on yet.
Not me. I've seen a sneak peek everywhere, and the sneak peek was almost all of this episode, just without all of, like, all of the plot of this episode was pretty much revealed in the sneak peek that I saw.
And I don't think, I mean, and luckily with, you know, sitcoms, they don't give away, they don't do premiere, like, previews for next week.
Right.
So they don't really give anything away, so... Like, commercials that I've seen haven't given away the parts that I thought were the funniest.
Okay, good. Well, then perhaps I will find next week even more enjoyable. I will say that I found it enjoyable. I didn't think it was as great as everybody else had been saying it would be. But then I realized that that was partly because I knew everything that was going to happen in the episode because I had seen it all in the preview.
The second screener episode they have out there is the second episode, right?
I'm fairly certain. I hope so because I love that episode.
Well, whether that episode plays next week or the week after, it is a really good episode.
Awesome. Okay.
And I would agree.
It's great.
I would agree that it's better than the pilot.
I'm determined to like the show whether I like it or not because it has Portia in it.
Yeah.
And I watched Portia's clips from Ellen and the...
I have not seen it yet, and I heard that it was really good.
It was really good. Not even that. You should go watch it someplace, and I'll have to find the link for you. Someplace that also has the stuff they taped before the show, like the pre-interview that they jokingly taped. It was really great.
Mm-hmm.
I love Ellen and Portia. Okay, that's all besides the point. Let's move on.
Tangent number 75.
Check.
Have I mentioned that I'm great with accents?
Okay, Amory. Moving on to life.
Okay, so you remember last week how I said I hated Gabrielle Union? I didn't say I hated her. I didn't like her. Big difference.
I think you said you hated her.
I said I hated her. Whatever.
We might need to go back to the. We might need to go back to the tape and listen.
Yeah, okay. Here's the thing. I didn't like her, and not because I have preconceived hatred for her by any means.
Really?
Like she talked too fast sometimes. Like she was trying too hard, and I don't know.
Her character is like a super go-getter. That's the character.
Do you know Gabrielle Union personally? Because you're taking this really hard.
No, I'm just saying that the thing that you're saying that you didn't like about her in the show was, I'm thinking that it's not necessarily her, that's what the character was.
Possibly.
Meant to be. Because she's like this, you know, supposed to be this like up, you know, go-getter trying to become the mayor. She was talking on two phones and opening drawers with her feet and you know, doing 12 Here's things at one time.
The eating scene was gross. I hate watching people chew. I hate hearing people chew. I hate it. I hate it. I hate when people talk with their mouth open. I hate it. No, not talk with their mouth open because that would be so weird.
Amory only likes ventriloquists. You must be able to talk with your mouth closed.
I meant
so like Jeff Dunham. Closed. She likes him. That's the only ventriloquist I can think of.
Wait, you know the name of a ventriloquist?
That's the only one I can think of.
He's a pretty well-known comic.
He's actually really good.
Okay. I meant with her mouth full.
I'm a worm on a stick.
That's what she said.
God, Lord have mercy.
Oh, Amory. Okay. I'm going to back you up here in saying that I didn't particularly like her either.
Thank you for your support.
I don't know that it was Gabrielle Union that I didn't like or if it was just the character I didn't like, but I didn't hate her. I just didn't love her. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
She's not Reese.
What is up with Reese?
She's pregnant. No. What?
I am so rolling my eyes at you right now.
Thank you for filling in the visuals for us.
Yes, you're welcome.
I don't know what's up with her. Here's what I think. I do actually enjoy that the show is kind of setting up for him to distrust her and her to distrust him.
Mm-hmm.
And that they both seem to be having difficulty with that. Like, they're both clearly struggling with that they don't want to distrust the other person, but they feel like the evidence should make them distrust them. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I don't know what's up with her. All I can think, I just don't believe that she's involved with something. I don't know. So, like, did the guy call her there to the boat and that's why she was there? Did something happen that she was called out to the boat for some reason? But wouldn't he know about that? He's your partner. Like, I was thinking, like, work-wise, but I don't know.
And maybe it has something to do with her father and not Charlie.
Right. Like, so. Did she know the guy? Because the guy knew her father. We knew that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't really understand what's going on there with... I probably need to rewatch because I don't really understand what's going on with the FBI. Like, are they... Is she right? That's all they wanted her for was to try and get something on Charlie?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So does that mean whoever's involved, that it goes as far as the FBI?
Yes. She says, having pretended that she knows what the writers are thinking. I don't know for real, but I think so.
I believe you, Amory.
Good.
Yes. That's exactly what's happening, Ray. You're so smart.
Yes, that was the underlying. No, that
you
was
just
the
spoiled the whole series. That's the problem. You just spoiled everything.
She didn't spoil it. She called me smart. That's how I heard it, anyway.
Great. Now, now Amory's speaking, and different words are coming through Ray's headphones.
That's because Amory's speaking with her mouth closed.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Any other thoughts about life?
No.
It's pretty good in general. I like it. Oh, wait, the show.
Yeah. Yes, the show. You know,
I think that I like what they're kind of setting up with the – I think it'll all come out that neither of them should be – neither up actually distrust the other one, but – it's still putting them in a situation where they're just like, should they trust the other one? Because they're not really telling each other anything, but they're also, I think they'll also sort of end up backing each other up and trying to figure out what's going on.
They're
going
to come together and realize that that's what's going to happen.
Again, they go back to how we were shown his partner from before, and I think that was intentional to show us how their partnership turned out and how this one, I think, is going to turn out different.
I agree.
I'm smart again. Okay, well, that's enough life. Not that we should all go kill ourselves or anything. Let's move on to... let's move on to Lost. Lost.
Okay, first question. Why is Sun in 2007? Discuss.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That was interesting as thinking about, you know... Well, the episode overall, it sort of... let you in on things that you thought were probably true. Like you thought that it was Frank and Son that had taken the boat, but they confirmed it, you know, in this one. And, you saw that Ben was hurt, but now you find out that he didn't get hurt in the plane crash. He got hurt because Son cracked him over the head with an oar.
Yeah. I like that.
And so I liked a lot of the, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, I think somebody mentioned it last week or whatever that they thought the baby was going to be Ethan.
And how awesome was that?
And so there was a
Yes, it was me.
Yeah, so there was a lot of stuff like that where you and like the when the kid walks in at the end with the sandwich, as soon as he walked in, I was like, that's Ben. Yeah,
you knew it was Ben.
You know, and but it still was a great scene with, you know, Saeed was like, nice to, you know, like, hey, Ben, you know, like reach through and kill him right now.
Yeah, I was surprised that Juliet didn't drop the baby. Like, oh, sorry, I dropped your child.
She did have that reaction. And then she tried to cover it up by like covering her mouth. And...
But I thought that was also interesting that since it is Ethan, that he was born as part of the Dharma Initiative, but ends up as an other.
Yeah.
I know that was my reason for not believing it was Ethan last week when Amory suggested it.
Yeah.
Could be a different Ethan.
And, well, yeah, I mean, the same thing. Ben, we already knew that Ben was part of getting rid of everybody and becoming one of the others. But so he's not the only one that was part of the Dharma Initiative that became another.
Right. I do now want to know, they must know that that Ben is their Ben, right?
They must.
Saeed definitely knew. You could tell when he...
I mean, they've lived there for 3 years. If he's been there and he's doing tasks that Sawyer kind of assigns, then they have to know.
Well, like, he hasn't been there for 3 years. He must have just been there.
No, but, yeah, he must have just arrived.
Right, like, not this sub, obviously, because I actually thought he was going to arrive on the same sub, because we know that it's sometime in that time frame that he arrives, because he's about 10 or 13 when he arrives, so he's about the age that he is when he's bringing the sandwich in. But I still would have liked, I guess we got the Ethan response, so maybe they had the same type of response when they met Ben the first time, too? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I want to kind of know, like, what were their responses to Ben, because clearly Ben is a even bigger ick than Ethan. Although for Juliet, obviously Ethan's a big one, because Ethan helped recruit her, so.
Yeah.
I also liked in the episode that based on the fake profile and testing that they did or whatever, whoever Jack was taking the place of or what have you, was due to his aptitude test was a janitor.
I feel like that was a Sawyer thing. Like, Sawyer did that. Like, and Juliet, at the same time, did that to Kate. She was like, oh, sorry, you're not on the list. Let her squirm. Oh, I saved you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't really find it as funny. For two reasons, I guess. One, because he is a doctor, so I can see why Sawyer did it, because in the past, part of what led to Jack being the leader was the fact that he was a doctor. Like, part of what led to Sawyer always being on the outs was because of what Jack was. But on the other hand, it's kind of a waste of a doctor.
Yeah, because they only have the intern guy.
Yeah, or it's kind of a waste of his talents, I guess. He didn't have to have been a doctor, but... But on the other hand, I think Jack is perfectly fine with it.
Yeah.
Well, he never wanted to be the leader in the first place, really.
I don't know. Okay.
You kind of got the feeling when that exchange they have at the end of the episode where when Jack's like, yeah, it's great or whatever, that he was like, he wasn't like being facetious or anything, or he really was like cool with Sawyer being the leader of what was going on.
I don't think he's cool with, I think that he's not cool with it.
What?
I don't think Jack's cool with not being the leader. I don't think Jack can handle not being the leader.
I don't agree with that. I think he's probably fine with not being the leader. I don't think he's fine with not knowing what's going on.
Yeah, not being kept in the loop. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem with Sawyer needing to think about what to do. I mean, I have a problem with everybody being so happy that Sawyer, whatever he said, you know what I mean, his whole thing with Jack, because I have a problem with that. Because here's the thing. I don't hate Jack and I don't hate Sawyer. So I'm coming at it from an even field, and I feel like he's not all quite right about Jack and his leadership skills and whatever. Like, it's easy to criticize him now because, you know, you're not the one who's having to deal with a plane crash that just happened and people dying and not knowing what's going on around you and blah, blah, blah. Not to say that Jack was the best leader in the world either. I'm not saying that by any means. I'm just saying that I don't think that he's all correct about everything he said. Like, it discounts some of the fact that Jack was dealing with different circumstances than Jack. I mean, than Jack. I keep saying the name, same name. Jack was dealing with different circumstances than Jack was.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Jack was dealing with different circumstances than Sawyer was. So, and I don't remember where I started with this. But, why that last scene bothered me in general was that Sawyer also didn't, like, go talk to any of them, even quietly just going to each one by one and at least filling them in a little bit more. Like, they just went through the shock of time travel. It's not like they have been flashing in and out like Sawyer was and had to adjust to it, like, in a minute. So I just had a problem with just that. And I understand that it's partly because the writers are like, you know, if we have them explain everything, it would be an entirely different show. I get it. But on the other hand, like, you can't do a little bit to, like, make the situation, like, instead of, like, smacking down Jack right away, wouldn't you at least say, look, I get that you just traveled through time and it's a little bit of a shock to you, but, you know, we got something going on here. Let me just try to figure it out.
And also, Jimmy Barrett from Mad Men, the guy who plays Phil, he totally had to have seen Jack hug Juliet.
I thought that too. Like, after that whole, after him, like, going over there, and he seemed a little suspicious, and I don't know if Jack just didn't pick up on him seeming suspicious about the whole James LaFleur thing. And then he goes over to the door, and they immediately hug, and she's like, well, you know, I couldn't come talk to you. I'm like, really? You couldn't come talk to him, but you could hug him in the middle of the frickin' door?
Yeah.
Right. Step out and right there and just, not, like, invite him in or something, or...
Yeah. Like, are you doing that with all the new recruits when they come say hi? Are you hugging them, too?
Which, I mean... could probably be explained away.
Right.
Because people hugged a lot then. Especially the Dharma Initiative kind of seems like hippie-ish, and like that could be explained away, but it's still, like, you know he saw it.
Right. I agree. I'm right there with you. All right, so what else? Not that we really talked about the 2007 stuff.
What else? Oh, Faraday. Where's Faraday?
I don't know.
Yeah, apparently he, like, what, took a sub back to and left the island or something, or... That was an interesting one because they hadn't shown him in anything. And so, yeah, they were just like, oh, he's not here. You're like, okay, what happened to him? But that's what they do on Lost. They throw out that little thing so that you have to, like, wait an episode or two before they come back and explain it.
Well, I just wasn't sure if he just went off on his own and was trying to do the time travel, figure out the time travel stuff. Although,
yeah,
maybe,
no, that's what I'm saying is they didn't, you don't know where it was that he's not there. Like, is he not there, but someplace else on the island? Is he not there? He left on a sub, you know, like.
I know. I'm giving you my thoughts on that. My guess is on where he is.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Faraday.
Oh, okay.
You're the one who asked.
I know.
Amory. Well, I was just wondering, like, you know. At this point, is Charlotte still there? And if she's not, is she not there because something to do with Daniel, maybe helping get her off the island at that point?
Mm.
I don't know.
Okay, so what about 2007 stuff?
What about it?
We didn't really discuss it.
Well, I'm interested in finding out what the long journey is. Is like the long journey is them trying to figure out a way to get back to the past, or is a long journey them trying to figure out everybody else back to the future? After seeing, you know, after they see, you know, the picture hanging on the wall.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So tell me this. Do you guys think that what we saw there in the Otherton, if it was a different than what we saw before? Because some people talked about how those registration signs didn't look like they were up when the others were there pretending to be the Dharma. Mm-hmm. Jody thinks that we saw that room when Kate was being held there and that those pictures weren't on the wall. Is this one because they didn't plan this far ahead? Is this two because the people in the past have changed the past? Or is it really supposed to be a different room that we just didn't see before?
I feel like it's a room we didn't see before.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. Like, people kept saying, what happened to Otherton? Why is it, like, looking like it did? But that's how it looked when they were last there, because the Widmore's guys attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And did
well, yeah, because like, you know, what you're looking at there, though, is the last time you saw it was what it looked like in 2004. So it's like 3 years later. And so it's since they left the island that it's turned into things hang down and you know... And, you know, stuff growing up all over the place or whatever.
No, I understood that part. But I think that people were thinking because it looked like it had been attacked or whatever, which it had been attacked the last time we saw it. That was my point, that I thought it looked similar to how we left it. Not like exactly how we left it, obviously. There's been nobody there taking care of it. Although that makes me question what the others have been doing on the island. But
right.
Because we know the others are still there.
Now that we're talking about the room, what? Did you guys see the person behind Sun's shoulder?
I didn't at the time.
I didn't either. I got an email about it on Thursday that was like, did you see the person? We watched it 3 times. I'm like, I don't have high def. No. Okay. But so then I rewatched it on abc.com and I...
Still don't see the person?
No, I see the person, but here's the thing. I don't think it was intentional. I mean, it's a pretty glaring issue to leave in. But I still don't feel like it was intentional.
You think that the person you see behind is like a random grip or something, like some set person that just got caught in the picture?
Yes.
I tend to think that way, Amory, except that it's Lost and they've done this before.
What have they done before, though?
They've done like the stuff in the cabin with Jacob and I don't remember what. Remember when if you'd pause it, you could see something? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't really know. They have hidden things in there.
Although it's amazing, though, with the way how intricate the show is, how few of these types or possible type of things like this or mistakes or things that have happened that nobody was ever supposed to have seen, you know, like way back when there was something about like somebody's x-rays or whatever. And then somebody like blew it up and you could see like the date on it and it like screwed everything up for like the timeline. But you weren't supposed to see that much detail. You were just supposed to see an x-ray.
Well, I think that's true, except that they did do a couple of things in this particular scene where it kind of drew your attention to that, or not mine, but...
Right, I
apparently
didn't
not.
Yeah.
I still don't know what anybody's talking about.
The very purposeful door flashes open and there's breeze flowing. And...
Yeah, like I noticed that. I just didn't notice the person. Like I noticed the door coming open and the smoke and the breeze. Yeah, like I specifically noticed that. So,
but out the door, you know, I was kind of like looking out the door. I didn't see anything in the doorway. So
no, it's right over Sun's shoulder.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like when you do something like that purposely draws your attention, you would think that if you had a mistake, like you could see a person in there, and you know if it's they're watching it on high def when they're taping it, when they're like going over the dailies, whatever, you think that they would try to fix that. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why and John immediately thought it was Claire, right? John Cabrera.
Yeah.
I thought it was Charlotte.
Yeah.
And what was the third person I heard? Somebody else said it was a third person, but I don't know.
I could believe that it was Claire, because Claire has been seen with Christian several times.
And the only reason I would think it's not Claire is because Emily's not in this season.
Well, they could just have somebody who has blonde hair in there. They don't have to have the actual person.
That's true.
Or in post, they just took a moving faded it into the back.
They had of Claire.
Yeah, and just put her in the background.
Just ghosted her in.
Yeah, that's right. So to speak.
We did have a long argument, debate, discussion. I'm not sure which of those you would assign to this at my house about whether Christian was alive or not.
Well, if John Locke is, I think Christian is.
Yeah, that's my thing. Because he's like, well, how could he be alive? He was in the coffin when they crashed. I'm like, yeah, John was in a coffin too. What are you talking about?
Yeah. What now? You're wrong.
And it was just the way he was interacting with the picture and everything. Like in the past, we haven't necessarily seen him interact. Like somebody specifically said, do you think he was alive when he talked to Locke because he said he couldn't help him?
He held the baby.
But yeah, you see him take the picture off the wall and stuff like that. And
that was always my thing too, Amory, that I saw him hold the baby when people would say he hasn't interacted.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going back to a different conversation. Back to Sun.
Okay.
Because slowly I'm remembering everything that I read during the day today.
Yes.
Somebody said that, so, you know, I've been thinking that the baby, Pierre's baby is Miles.
Somebody somewhere online said something.
Somebody somewhere online said something.
Sorry. Inside joke, people. Go ahead.
No, that wasn't really, I didn't even intentionally do that. Anyway.
Somebody said.
Well, you know how I've been thinking that the baby is Pierre's? I mean, we know the baby's Pierre's. Crap. That Miles is the Asian baby.
Yes.
Somebody said it might be Sun, and that's why she's not in 2007.
Okay, you read that on John Cabrera's?
Okay, yes. I couldn't remember where I read it.
You've read it elsewhere too, maybe. I've read it at least one other place. Maybe Alan Sepinwall's. But somebody else also pointed out that Dr. Chang is actually supposed to be Chinese.
Oh, so
remember, Sun is Korean and
Korean child. Miles is Chinese, right?
I don't know what Miles is, but remember when they had the where Jin was talking Korean and they all look at Miles? And Miles is like, dude, I'm not Korean.
Right. So they made a very important
distinction. And I could have sworn he said something about a boy or something.
Oh, maybe.
I could have sworn he like referred to the child as a he, or somehow that happened.
Something happened.
I don't know that for sure because I've seen other people say the same thing. But I think it is true that he's not Korean. So I don't think it's saying because she couldn't go back because she existed in that time. This is why that theory doesn't work for me. In the very beginning of the season.
Wait, by the way, how's my trouble levels?
We're having a little trouble with the treble.
Thomas, stop listening if you're having trouble with the treble. All right, listen to me.
He's going to hate us for that. Thomas, we're sorry.
Thomas, anyway. We're making fun of you. You're one of us.
Soon, we're going to be just the 10 of us.
Damn it. Okay.
Listen to you. Continue.
If you go back to the season. Back to the season. Thank you.
What?
If you go back to the beginning of the season. I forgot a few words, Amory.
Okay. I didn't catch on to that. I was like, why is she repeating herself?
Apparently Ray cut out. there for a second.
My brain cut out. If you go back to the beginning of the season, at the very first like couple of scenes we see in the very first episode of the season, mm-hmm. Locke is first standing with Richard, like he's talking to Richard in the middle of the others' camp, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we have Ben turns the wheel and we see the flash, and Richard and Locke both look up at the flash, and then Locke is all by himself in the jungle and it's raining. So the others clearly don't flash. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Sure.
I'm not sure what that had to do with sun.
Yeah, I don't mean he's not another. But whatever. We'll let you keep going.
After all that, it's because Ben didn't flash and people were wondering why Ben didn't flash. To go back to why, because they were, this is why it connects, Amory. Okay. I had a purpose.
Nice.
Because they were saying also that Ben
was... I'm just glad we're finding out which characters are flashers and which ones aren't.
This is a very punny episode.
Rising up to the surface. Anyway.
Amory?
Continue.
Anyway,
Please make your point.
People, was that people were saying that Sun couldn't flash back because maybe she was the baby and they couldn't exist at the same time, and that's why Ben mm-hmm. couldn't flash back. Mm-hmm. But Ben is technically an other, and the others didn't flash either. So that throws the theory out. One. Two, Sawyer and Locke flashed to a time during the season number two where Claire is having her baby where they existed.
Oh,
how could
right.
they flash
if
there
they were
if
existing.
Yeah. So that theory doesn't really work for me.
Doesn't hold water.
Yeah, because they've already flashed back to times where they existed.
Yeah. So
when the record was skipping.
I don't think it's about Sun being the baby. I think there's something else. Now, somebody somewhere.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I think it was in Alan Sepinwald's. It might have been Jody. Asked if whether Sun having met with Widmore and possibly having something going with Widmore, which is what I theorized before she got on the plane, if... maybe that's part of the reason the island wouldn't let her flash, but I don't know if that's really true or not.
No, because Charles and Daniel and Miles flashed and they had something going with Widmore.
True. See, that's where it throws me all off. Like, why did they flash and Frank didn't flash? Because Frank was a part of that group originally, so it's not just the people who were on Oceanic 815. Like, there's clearly some other requirement for the flashing, right? Prerequisite for the flashing. Flashing.
Fine. There's a prerequisite for the flashing.
Fuck.
Wow. And Porky
like
Pig makes an appearance.
It's the Princess Bride.
It's also Porky Pig.
Marriage!
Oh my God, we're going
Jesus Pete.
Oh, we're going down real fast. Woo, love.
That's what she said. Shit. Okay. Where were we?
I have no idea. Why Sun
Ray was making
flash.
A point.
I'm done with my point. We were discussing why maybe Sun couldn't flash.
I got nothing. I have no explanation.
Neither do I. So why don't we just wait and see what the show says?
Yeah. And then when I don't buy it, I'll argue then. When the answer's not good enough, then we'll complain.
Exactly. Even though we couldn't think of a good one.
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me?
Anyway, do we have anything more to say about Lost?
No, I think that we've exhausted this topic.
We've run it into the ground.
As we tend to do.
Just like the plane. All right.
Well played.
Thank you. Let's move on to our final show of this episode. Party Down.
Okay. I freaking love this show. I love it.
I'm so glad that you love it. So,
are you sarcastic, or do you really agree with me?
I was being somewhat...
agreeably sarcastic?
No, this word wasn't sarcastic. I was making some
patronizing?
Fun.
Is that what you were doing?
Patronizing is probably the correct
patronizing
word.
Patronizing me?
I was
sure.
being somewhat patronizing because of your numerous I love it. However, I did enjoy the show quite a bit.
Oh my God, it was so freaking funny. I was not prepared for what they were sending my way. Certainly not Naked Enrico Colantoni. No, that's not true. I was prepared for that, but I was not prepared for how naked he was.
Oh, that's stars. I figured he'd be pretty damn naked.
Oh, Rico.
What he won't do for his buddies.
I swear.
Damn funny.
I have to argue a point with you.
Okay.
Because you yelled at me for not giving John Enbom credit for writing, but Rob Thomas wrote the first couple episodes.
I didn't give you trouble for him writing. It wasn't that.
I just didn't give any credit to him, and I apologize because
everybody keeps referring to the show as Rob Thomas's show.
Right.
And it's not just Rob Thomas's show. And in fact, John Enbom is at the top of the credits, although I think that
he is, and I wrote that in my, maybe that's alphabetical order.
I don't think it's alphabetical. I think it might actually be.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is Thomas at the bottom?
No, Dan Etheridge is. So there goes our alphabetical order thing.
Well, I was trying to figure out if it... I think it's matter... It must then be, like, Enbom, Thomas, Rudd, Etheridge?
Probably.
Is Rudd listed as an executive producer?
Yes, he is.
You'd think that would get a little bit more coverage these days, since Paul Rudd is everywhere. That Paul Rudd is involved with this show. Well, involved to some degree.
I wonder is he going to guest on it at all? Do you know?
I'm not sure if he's going to guest or not. I just know that he's been one of the ones that when they've been talking about it for years, he was one of the ones who was talking about it for years.
So anyway. You didn't watch it. It's a show about these cater waiters in LA and they are convinced that this is like their real job. No, their fake temporary job because in real life they are actually actors and writers and comedians. And it stars like the most wonderfully crazy cast ever.
It does.
Ken Marino, I have to say, Wet Hot American Summer, one of my favorite movies of all time. And that cast, oh my God. But Ken Marino is in that. And, you know, I just love him. Everywhere I see him, I'm just so happy. And he's great in this.
He is pretty great.
And Ryan Hansen, fantastic. Fantastic. Jane Lynch, freaking Jane Lynch.
It's
so
pretty
good.
Great.
It's so good.
I actually liked the second episode that they had out there better than the first episode, but
the first episode was Enrico's party, right? And the second episode was Jason Doring.
The second one I saw, I think it's actually the third episode or something like that. It was the singles dating thing, but it was all older, older singles.
That's the first one they had on their thing. Yeah,
I haven't seen that, so
we won't spoil anything.
I don't know if I'm gonna see it, but.
Yeah,
but I liked it, but it also seemed like, you know, you also need to see the second episode, I think, and then it might even be better because there's definitely an arc of things happening that it seems like it does take a big jump if you don't see the second episode, it seems like. But no, I like it. I think it's pretty good. But one of the things that I liked about it was also that while some of these guys are all like hoping to get their big break, there's the one guy that's used to be a guy hoping to get his big break and was a cater waiter and then sort of got his big break and went off to try and be an actor and now come back to work as a cater waiter. And I really like that. Like, so it kind of gave you these hopeful people, but also this one guy that his hopes had already been dashed by Hollywood to juxtapose against it.
Right.
So it was good.
Yes, and I know that's our final show, but I also want to add that the show that airs with it, Headcase, I didn't realize it was freaking awesome. And if people have stars and are watching comedy on Friday nights at 10 and 10:30, you should be watching Headcase because it's freaking amazing.
Very good.
You're welcome.
So people,
you didn't thank me, but I said thank you anyway.
Yeah, if you like, unscripted comedy type stuff. That's another one of those shows.
It's a show for you.
Headcase is another one of those shows, but it's a premium cable version of an unscripted show, so they can go way out there in all directions.
Yes. So I think that's all I have to say for prime time.
Okay, then.
Oh, bother.
Emery.
I can only hope that I bring as much joy to everyone else as I do to Ray in this podcast.
Me too. Okay. All right, people. Next week, Chris Vaughn did not give us our topic.
Next week,
We will be discussing Sam's topic. Thank you, Sam, for writing in and giving us a topic.
I know you get mad at me for making fun of what you say.
What did I say?
Sure, you just said disclosing Sam's tops, Rick.
Maybe. It's been, let me just tell you how long we've been connected, people. We've been connected on this call for 2 hours. We've been recording at this point for 1 hour and 20 minutes. So, if I said we'll be Sam Sopic, I'm okay with it.
I'm crying my eyes out.
I just hope that I bring as much joy to you as
I do. Too.
All right. Next also week, we'll be discussing Sam's topic, in which he'd like to know if there are any actors from shows or people from shows that we'd like to have come back. Like, his example was Matthew Perry, loved him on Friends, would like to see him back on TV. So if you have any actors that you'd like to see back on TV, feel free to give us a call at 213-985-3176 and let us know. Or, you know, tell us whatever you want to tell us, because nobody ever freaking calls. Or you can email the site, because people do that.
People
do that. They totally do that.
Oh, I'm like 6 again. All right.
You can
leave us some feedback on iTunes.
Yes, sir.
No, but that's totally a flashback to a Friends episode.
With
the duty, where he says, there's an episode of Friends where Chandler's going in for an interview, and the interviewer says, your duties will be, and Chandler starts laughing because he says duties.
Oh.
Sorry, just a random flashback that was doo-doo related.
Is that Chandler or Joey?
No, it was Chandler.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
That's the way, random association.
Okay. We're done with that now. So that's our topic. You can call us. You can write us. Do whatever. At our website at tvtimes3.com. What?
I said send us a letter. You can do whatever.
If you can find one of our addresses, you're welcome to send us a letter. It may be a while.
I'd be really creeped out. Don't send me mail.
Make sure you seal it with a kiss if you send it to Amory.
Creepy.
I thought you were going to go, oh, bother. Oh god. Okay. TVtimes3.com, spell it all out. Our music.
Signing off.
Amory. I have to say our music.
Sorry.
And you're making me laugh, so it's gonna be really hard.
That's what she said.
Oh god. The people listening at this point, if you're still listening to us, we love you for making it this far.
Our music today was provided by iodapromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records. And now we're done. Thank God.
Thank God. But you know what? I don't have to go eat today.
That's what must be screwing us all up, Amory.
Gotta be.
Would you please get back to the routine?
I gotta eat.
That's like goodbye in Amory language.
It is. You wanted me to translate goodbye into a different language every episode. There you gotta go. I gotta eat.
Now you need to start saying I gotta eat in different languages, and then you really have something.
This apparently is what happens when you get into your 20s. Okay.
Wait,
episode
what?
Number
what?
20.
Oh, I was like, did you just...
Oh, Amory, you cut out while you were talking to me, so I don't know what you just said.
I asked if you made fun of younger people.
I did not.
Entering their 20s. Sorry if you're entering your 20s.
Not what I said. This is what happens when you get into your 20th episode.
I got you, Ray. I got your back if anybody gangs up on you. It's okay.
I don't believe you. All right, people. Adios.
Adios. Goodbye. Hey, goodbye. Goodbye for real. Gotta go. Goodbye.
We sit glued to the TV set all night.
Music today, as in every... Well, shit. What?
Pretty sure that's not the name of the song. Then watch TV and have a couple of brews.